Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Darren Boy, and in this show we are going to discuss a brief overview of the Harlequin process methodology for project management. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. Alright, let's get started. Well, there are many types of project management methodologies out there, which in the course Ensuring Effective Project Management in the Real World on gogo.com, we cover these briefly, such as PRINCE2, PMI, Six Sigma, and the known advantages and disadvantages of each. These methodologies are not standalone guarantees, however, and effective project managers are often coupled with valued experience of project events, knowing what to do, when, and how to respond to it with the appropriate action. This, of course, is not the case with project management, with a firm foothold as a human science, and responses and activities may also be miscalculated or based upon misconstrued understanding of planning, product description, or progress, and hence resulting in project failure. Well, clarifying these plans and objectives is often also left to the project manager to ensure and maintain, which again often is reliant on the project manager's ability to communicate not only the current project's activity, but also the project management methodology process to the client with sometimes no prior client experience. This learning curve from the client using previously unused terminology again can often deviate from the original scope and further understanding of the project progress. Some might say that communication is the key to ensuring universal understanding of a project's elements, such as scope, time, budget, quality. However, this can result in a granular effect towards the project. There remains a niche tool that allows for all of this to occur without relying on the project manager to ensure clarity to the stakeholders on different levels, and also for every stakeholder to be aware of their particular roles and duties within the project. The Harlequin process tool that can be used in conjunction with any existing methodology or experience-based project manager, it is a tool that through the use of an easy to understand symbols can create a clear and concise roadmap of stakeholder responsibilities at defined times of the project. Well, why is this process called Harlequin, you may ask? Well, not only from looking at the Harlequin process, the symbols mimic those from a Harlequin itself, but there is also an underlying concept. By definition, Harlequin is a master of disguise, which can also be compared to some project managers unwilling to communicate or a client unwilling to listen to be actively in the process. This process unravels by each stage and implements Harlequins as symbols of clarity, communication, and understanding rather than mystery and disguise. Well, the Harlequin process splits the project into four main sections: the conceptual phase, the design and define, the execution, and the acceptance phases, each representing a stage in the life cycle of a project. Each project phase is time driven and involves two main aspects: project events and the management product it affects. These two axes are related together using a library of various symbols according to the recommended action for the project manager, executive, and project team should take for a particular part of the project. These symbols can also arrange, update, seek approval, mutually agree, collaborate, create the particular management product, and also the symbols are also nestled within shapes that represent different stakeholders on the project. For example, a red square representing the client of executive, a blue square representing the project manager, and an amber circle representing the project management team, or in some cases it's a amber hexagon. So really, the old cliche phrase of a picture means a thousand words, it really follows this concept where it's just showing one symbol, it's showing a plethora of different types of data related to that particular activity. And who's related to that activity, when to do it, and also which management products are affected by that activity, just with one showing one symbol. To understand the process fully, I will go through these sections one by one. As we already are aware, a project is a finite life cycle with a clearly defined beginning and an end. The process at the beginning of the Harlequin project is called the conceptual process. The conceptual process addresses the very early stages of a project and mainly involves the collaboration between the project manager and the client to ensure that the project has suitable viability to continue or start. If we just take each activity and as we go through it, the first activity is to define the project objectives and project output. This really asks the question of what is the aim of the project? What are we doing? Why are we doing the project? What do we hope to achieve by this particular project? Also questions such as what is our budget? What are our tolerances? And then of course this also affects particular management products related to this particular activity. The second activity in the conceptual phase is the identify stakeholders, internal and external. So who are the internal stakeholders? Who are the external stakeholders? What are our competitors currently doing? What is their impact on this particular project? And who are the people that need to be kept and updated? The third activity of the conceptual process is the current existing and the potential risks or benefits which can be related to the project. So what are the current threats to our particular output? What are the current threats to the overall outcome, the target of the project? What are the current benefits and how can we monopolize on them? And of course, what is the risk appetite of the client at this stage? Following this, the next activity is the realism scope and time scale. So how long will the project is expected to take? And of course, not all projects start immediately. So when is the project start date? When is the project end date? And are all the resources free for the project duration? And then the following is agree a forecasted budget. How much will the project cost? What are the budget tolerances? So if something goes wrong, is there money in place to implement and continue the project? Or is that it? Are there no tolerances and is everything going? Is all the money out in the open? The following activity is, of course, to check for hindsight reports. To know what hindsight reports is, you should just review one of the previous modules I've done on the GoGo of ensuring effective project and project management in the real world. But in essence, it's really asking the question, has there been a similar project before? Are there previous lessons which we can learn and apply it to this? Hindsight reports can also be created at the end of each stage of a project. So what did we learn on the previous stage? How can we implement this new knowledge, this new wisdom, this new project wisdom into the next stage to optimize it much better? Maybe something went wrong. Maybe someone you went with, someone who you recruited, you outsourced with, didn't supply, so obviously you're not going to recruit them again in the next stage. And then of course, potential roles and responsibility. So who is responsible for what? And what is the current project management team structure? So what are the levels and hierarchy of the project? Who is the executive? Who is the decision maker? Where is the project manager lie? What responsibilities does the project manager have? And what responsibilities does the team manager have if they exist? And who's underneath the team manager? What specialists are involved with the project? And what are the external stakeholders? Again, it asks the question, who are you outsourcing? What are their roles and responsibilities towards the project? And then, of course, I've just briefly mentioned outsource companies. Have all the outsource companies been identified? Have they allocated time to their contribution to that particular project? There's no point listing companies which you're going to go with and getting their agree, and then at a particular time in the project when you ask them, they're too busy doing another project, but then they can do it in 2-3 weeks' time. They need to diary cut. They need to section out when they're going to work for you for this particular time frame. And also, as the project manager, you have to keep them updated if there is a particular delay, or even if you want them to do it earlier. The next activity is to agree the tolerances and risk appetites. This really gives a more detailed description of how much risk is the client willing to take. Is the money well protected? Does it matter if the project failed, or is it absolutely imperative that the project continues? Is the client very wary of the current progress of the project? So if too many risks happen too early in the project, the client wants to pull out at this particular stage. This is risk appetite. Again, on previous modules of ensuring effective project manager for the real world. The next activity within the conceptual phase is the organizational dynamics. So this is very unique for the Harlequin process. So what are the core influential factors of your client, of the client's company, of the client which you're working with? What is their particular ethos? How do they work? And how can you potentially fit in? And then following this, they're kind of conjoined, is stakeholder mapping. Who has the core interests and core impacts on the particular project? Where does the particular power lie in the project? Who do you need to keep updated? Who don't you need to keep updated? And is this likely to change? And of course, with the particular Harlequin process, with every activity, there is an associated list of management products. So with each activity, the project manager needs to ask what management products are affected and which stakeholders are involved with each activity. So this really applies the Harlequin process itself and really gives a very quick and concise diagram of all these things. So which activity you're doing, at which stage of the project, which management products are affected, which stakeholders are involved, and with each activity, and who should be involved. Okay, so the next phase is the design and define process. So as before, from the conceptual phase, this really follows it on. So this clearly defines the quality and the product description and ensures the project is viable to proceed to the next development stage. So the first activity of the design and define process is to create the business case. You might be shocked as a project manager that creating the business case is in the second phase of the project. But actually, the previous conceptual process is actually creating the business case in order so that you can do it now. There's no point, for example, saying, well, today I'm going to create the business case and then do it all, and then it needs to be a long drawn out process in creating the business case to ensure that, because the business case is so important, it's so core to the project itself, then you have all the evidence, you have all the material, and you've done your homework as much as possible before you start creating the business case. So this really marks the official start of the project, and it should include all the aspects from the conceptual phase. The next activity of this is to agree the product schematics and product descriptions. How are the products defined? How are the products broken down? By products, we mean particular elements of a plan which needs to be completed, which needs to be processed. So a product could, for example, could be a feature within a software. It could be a part of a website. It could be a website page. It could be a chapter of a book. And also, how can we plan to achieve these goals? So, you know, we have this idea of the product which we're going to do. We need to have a product plan on how you're going to achieve them. And like the next activity is to agree quality reporting. So how can quality be updated? How can the quality remain unambiguous to all stakeholders? This is imperative whilst you're doing a project that all the stakeholders have a clear understanding of the current quality which the project manager is currently supplying. And of course, the next activity, the logical process, is to clarify stakeholders' expectations. So does the output match the client's outcome? And how can we, if it doesn't, how can we achieve this? And if it does, how can we maintain this? How can we keep the current progress in line? And then, of course, how can we communicate a compromise if it doesn't? Not resulting in something like an off specification or something like that, or request for change, but just maybe coming with a brief compromise. Not really going into the depths of change management at this stage. And then, of course, the next phase is the set acceptance criteria. So when do we know the project has finished? You know, when do we know that the stage or project has finished? You know, so this really is the final checklist. So if you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, they all have ticks, then the product must be completed, and either it's sent to the configuration librarian or it's sent straight to the client for delivery. And of course, how to set the quality criteria, that's another following activity from the acceptance criteria. So how is quality agreed? How often have you met? And does everyone have, of course, a universal understanding of each? And then the final stages of design and define phase is to finalize the project plan. This is the overall roadmap, the overall guide of how the project is going to be completed, how you're going to complete the project within the particular time scale, within the particular type of budget. So it's critically important. And then after we've done the project plan, we also have a stage plan, to create the stage plan. So this is really breaking down, segmenting parts of the project plan and creating smaller stage plan, smaller bite size. If anyone is Scrum certified, then this would be, for example, you know, the sprints of a Scrum. And then, of course, after the stage plan is to agree a communication strategy. You know, a project is not a one-way thing. It's not the client going to the project manager saying, "I want this project done," and the project manager going away, doing the project and coming back. You know, that's the reason why so many projects fail, because the project manager goes off and he gives brief updates to the client. The client says, "Okay, that's fine." And then towards the end, when the client really looks at it, when they actually have to pay for it, they realize, well, this is not what we said. So a project has to have full duplex communication between the client or executive, the project manager, and the stage team, and the stage manager and the project management team. So it's constant communication, constant arrows going up and down, up and down, up and down. So this is really what the communication strategy is. So how will all the internal stakeholders communicate with each other, and by what means? By email, through phone, through maybe daily progress meetings, through Skype, through video conferencing, in any way the client wants, then, you know, the project manager should be able to really accommodate for. Otherwise, they shouldn't really be doing the project in the first place. And of course, how often? Do they want weekly updates, bi-weekly updates, monthly updates? Probably not yearly updates, but you get the general idea. So whilst the project manager is doing the project, he also needs to coordinate with his project management team away actually from the client. So this is really the next stage of the activity, so is to set up a daily meeting strategy. So how will progress be maintained? You know, who will set up the daily daily progress meetings? What kind of questions are you going to ask in order to communicate progress? And of course, the end of the design and define phase, we again revisit the stakeholder mapping. So who has the core interests and the impact? Where does the power lie? Has this changed? And is this likely to change in the future? The design and define process is unique. Well, it's not unique. It's actually coupled with the execution phase because it's a recursive phase. So again, with this particular list of activities, there's different associated management products to this. To fully understand this, you have to really look at the actual design and define diagram itself to fully communicate and understand what's really going on. But really, what management products are affected, which stakeholders are involved, and which activity. And of course, who should be involved at this particular stage. So I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio archive for my name. If there is a show that you'd like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box also. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.